Good evening and good morning, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on this 27th day of June, 2018, last Wednesday of June, already the middle of the year, and this year has gone by faster, I think, than last year. At least it seems so. Greetings also to those on the phone, those joining us on the recording, and glad to have you with us in fellowship tonight. Our opening song is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Ye chosen seed of Israel, race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace. Crown him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial bowl, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
All that is not. I'm trying to. Oh, this is bad. I'm trying to start on a different key and not doing very well.
All that with yonder angels throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Sorry.
Amen. And it's okay, dear brother. We're glad you're with us tonight and was able to take verse 4. Praise God indeed. And, you know, what a honor and a privilege that would be to be able to see our Lord crowned and enthroned when he ascended up to heaven. And Pentecost was the official recognition that that had occurred in heaven. And as soon as Christ was enthroned next to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to his people, and he's still sending the Holy Spirit today. And thank you, dear Savior, and praise your name that you are indeed King of Kings and Lord of all. It's time for opening prayer, and let us please bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love and watchful care. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven, to be able to see you as you are, and to embrace you as our Father and loving Sovereign. We meet here in the name of Jesus. We ask that you'll take control of this meeting and be here in our midst. We pray, dear Savior, that you will also be here and dispel darkness in our hearts with your righteousness and truth. And, dear Spirit, we also pray that you will be here to lead and guide us into all truth and away from all error, and especially open our understanding to behold wondrous things out of the Word of Truth tonight. Dear Savior, we pray that you will continue to be the great physician of those needing healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. And thank you so much for being their compassionate healer. And dear Spirit, we pray that you will continue to fill this dark world with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, and continue to work upon hearts in bringing them conviction and conversion to the truth. And thank you so much for doing so. So thank you, dear Godhead, for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a reminder that we're having foot washing and communion service this coming Sabbath. So please come prepared for that. And greetings, dear sister. Glad you're with us. We're continuing in our study book of Acts, chapter 13, and we left off at verse 14. And the last thing that we were talking about was that Paul and his company, which included John Mark and Barnabas, left the area that they were, leaving Paphos, came to Perga in Pamphylia, and then John Mark gave up his desire to continue with Paul and Barnabas, having become discouraged in a way, I guess, and decided to go back home. And that left a sour taste in Paul's memory regarding John Mark. And Barnabas believed that John Mark was just a little bit unprepared and didn't quite know what to expect. But the next time, with a little bit of encouragement, he would be better suited for this type of evangelism, traveling and enduring all kinds of hardships and everything else along the way. So that's where we left off last time. And now we pick it up at verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So it must have been a custom at the time that any that were of a particular type of dress and were elders were allowed to speak some words unto the people if they wanted. It would be nice if that was still a custom today, because that would definitely open a door to visit some of the churches and be able to give the present truth. But sad to say that open invitation is not so prevalent today. So the rulers there, after they went through the beginning part of the service and noticed that Paul and Barnabas were there, they were strangers. They looked like they were trustworthy men. And so they were given the opportunity to speak. What would you do if you were in that position? definitely an open door. You definitely have to go with the Spirit's leading there. And even if you didn't know what to say, dart a prayer to heaven and move forward. And we have the promise that the Spirit will give you exactly what you need to say when the time comes. So you don't have to have a prepared speech.
Well, in my younger years, I probably would have hid under the chair and just turned as red as a beet because I was very shy. But then I had read an article in one of the church newsletters that came out from the conference, and it said, don't say no until you've tried it. And for whatever they were asking you is insofar as church work. And you open the door for the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say if you don't say no, and God will give you the courage. And I took that to heart. And so in my later years, I probably would have said, dear Holy Spirit, please help me to say the right words. And if I can't think of any words, then whatever I say or do, make it right with the listener.
Amen, amen. And that's actually a good point. Even if you get up on stage or get up in front of the people and you may stutter or you may lack the words that are flowery, that are perfect in grammar and sentence construction, the Spirit can take the words that you say, no matter how poor they may be in your eyesight or your recollection, and impress them upon the people better than an orator who can bring forth 10,000 words that lack a lot of substance to it, just sort of filler. So that's absolutely true. The Spirit can take the words you say and impress them upon the hearts and bring about true conversion. So amen, amen. God is just asking for minute men and minute women, those that are able to recognize open doors and then are able through reliance upon Christ's grace and strength and the Holy Spirit's wisdom and truth to stand up and speak for the Lord, to take advantage of that open door, to walk through it. And then God and the Spirit will do all the rest. So, amen.
Praise the Lord that although that doesn't generally happen regarding people opening the pulpit to us, that it has happened, I believe, for your ministry, Elder Bob, where your section for SDAs, a lot of, obviously, SDAs are going to be going to that direction if they're interested, and that they can be instrumental in sharing the truth without you being there in their large or small congregations in the big denomination that is Seventh-day Adventism. So I praise the Lord that that's been made possible. I've noticed that in the small ministry of Free Literature and Multimedia. They're fantastic opportunities where people ask for free literature, but they don't necessarily know the whole plan of salvation, or they know most of it, or 95% is. But you know, they're willing to pass on that extra bit that encapsulates the whole gospel plan in the literature that they're requesting by simply putting a tract at the end of it.
Amen, amen. And it's the ability to recognize an opportunity, the door being opened, whether to speak to the people or give them a track or send them other literature or just say a kind word or do a good deed, whatever it may be, to recognize that open door, that opportunity. And once you recognize it, to pray for help and then walk through that open door. Do that good deed. Pass out that literature. Say that kind word. Go the extra mile. So even though your whole nature may be a more on the shy side and sort of standoffish, not wanting to jump into the middle of anything or put yourself forward, yet that open door is an opportunity that perhaps God and the angels have spent months arranging just so that the track of that individual needing the truth and you being there at that moment in time come about. It may have taken months to arrange that. And so if you recognize that that's been going on behind the scenes and now the open door, the opportunity is there to share the truth, we need to be of such a ready, willing servant of God to stand up and be counted at any moment of time. You know, a lot of us like to be very organized, and this is going to take place then, and that is going to happen next, and so on. But we can't be so regimented in our schedule, our plans, and have no time for God to use us at a moment's notice. We need to recognize we're servants of God, and such, we are under His direction at any moment. So we're not servants of ourselves to where we can map out every single thing that we're going to do for that particular day and shut out any kind of interruptions or opportunities to help others, to minister to one another. We need to recognize we're under God's control. And whatever He has planned for us, we need to be willing to set aside our own plans to go outside of our schedule in order to obey our God, to fulfill His will, and especially to reach those whom He and the angels of heaven have worked behind the scenes to bring across our pathway for just such a time as that. And may God forgive us for not recognizing the open doors, or for not having the courage to walk through the open doors, or for not changing our schedules in order to be God's witness at a moment's notice. And I just pray that those whom I have not witnessed to when I was impressed to.
When I was younger, I worked in a doctor's office as an assistant. And the doctor and his wife had taken a vacation, and I was there at the office to take care of the regular patients that needed injections or whatever. And I asked God to help me know which person He wanted me to talk to on a certain day. And I, because I didn't trust my judgment, I couldn't read people very well, and I certainly didn't want to say something to someone that wasn't ready to hear it and cause a problem. So I prayed about it, and give me a sign that this is the person you want me to talk to. And one of the patients came in, and she opened the door because she said something to me about God. And I thought, God, this is the one that you want me to talk to. And we had a very, very good conversation about God and how He hears prayers. And I don't remember all of all of what we said, but I do remember the incident, and I was just blown away because I never would have thought it about this particular person. And I praise God for that insight. And he does hear your prayer, and he will give you a sign which one to talk to.
Amen. Amen. And then there's individuals like Sister Susan that just are able to speak to whoever comes across their pathway. They just have that talent, that ability to speak to anybody. Praise God that as he is our creator and thus have made speech available in all of his creatures, or most all, as some are mute, but as he has given the ability for us to speak, so then he will also give us the ability to speak the right words. All he's asking for is that we're willing to speak. And then he'll take over. So, amen. Are there any other thoughts? Any other comments?
I miss Sister Susan on Sabbath, and I notice she's not here tonight. I pray that she is okay. Concerned there.
Well, we will keep her in prayer. I have not heard if there's any problems, and so I assume everything is okay. So Paul was asked to speak. He was given that open door. And you know good and well, Paul was not going to let that kind of opportunity go by him without taking advantage of it. And so who would like to read? He says quite a bit here, and we won't read all of that, but we'll read several verses.
Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffering, he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, it says here, a man of the tribe of Benjamin. I thought it was Kish. By the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.
So, amen. So, Paul stood up, and then the Holy Spirit took over. And notice the first thing that the Holy Spirit started with. Started relaying history. And the history started from the very beginning of Israel, all the way back to the patriarchs. Brought them all the way down in very quick succession to David. And then went right to prophecy. And the prophecy was from the seed of David, God would raise unto Israel a Savior. And then Paul names the Savior, which is Jesus Christ. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in 7 verses. 7 sentences. So in 7 sentences, Paul brings out the gospel starting from the beginning of Israel and how God led them step by step all the way to the prophecy of Christ being the Savior of Israel. Kind of a crash course there, isn't it? He didn't mince around words. He went right to the point. And seeds were planted. Now, of course, Paul didn't stop here. He'll continue now to show that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah. But in 7 sentences, Paul brought up history, prophecy, and then fulfillment in Jesus. So it wasn't 10,000 words. It was maybe 120 at the most. Right to the point. And amen, it was respectful. He wasn't beating them over the head with it. He wasn't up in their faces. He brought forth the truth, inspired by the Spirit, to everyone in that room. So even if he would have been cut off after verse 23 and not able to say another word, yet the seeds of truth were enough to be planted in the hearts and minds of the people. And then the Spirit would be able to lead them to search it out for themselves. So quite interesting here how the Spirit impressed Paul to witness. Any other thoughts? Any other comments?
What an amazing intellect to be able to go over all that history over all those years and come right to the point.
Amen. Amen. And it was some 1,500 years that Paul brought up there in 7 sentences. But it really doesn't matter how intelligent Paul was, because the Spirit was giving him the words to speak. And it's the same with us. It doesn't matter how learned we may be. It doesn't matter our level of intelligence. We don't have to be a genius. We could even be a child. Yet the Spirit can use us to reach hearts. Christ was but 12 years old, and he was witnessing to the elders of the church that were 3 and 4 times his age. And he was witnessing effectively to them. So it's true we have to read and study the Bible for ourselves. We have to spend time learning from the wisdom of the mighty. But yet we can't rely on our wisdom in order to reach hearts. We have to rely on the Spirit using us in order to reach hearts. So self's got to get out of the way so that the Spirit can use us to bring conversion to hearts. We can't convert them. It's the Spirit that reaches the heart through us as long as we're out of his way. But what an opportunity to walk into a church you'd never been to before, and then to have the opportunity given to you to say a word.
Notice how Paul starts out, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience or hear me out."
Amen. That's true. That's true. And so, you know, everybody that would be in that room was one who wanted to fear God, so they paid extra attention. So that is a good note to pay attention to. When you're speaking to individuals, try to get them on your side right from the very beginning. Those that are Christians and want to be followers of Christ, listen to what I say. Only if the Spirit leads you to open in that way. But that would definitely get them interested to listen to what you had to say. So amen. Comment in the room says, God prepare us for such a thing. Indeed. That would be scary to have an invitation to speak in front of a church you've never been to before. But man, how could you turn it down? There's really not time to say, well, you know, let me think about it. You know, let me pray about it. I'll get back to you. You got to take advantage of the open door when it's open, because the devil is going to be sure to close that door as soon as he can. So there's very little time to act. And that's why we need to be minute women and minute men and minute children. And God will give us the grace and the strength and the wisdom as well as the courage to be so. So let us look for those open doors throughout this week and always. And then allow God to use us at a moment's notice. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments before?
And there is that wonderful similarity that Christendom today, we still have a lot in common with them, to start with, at least, even if they're the most out of the way, you know, Westfield Baptist Church. There's still some common ground, and the good thing is most, if not all, believe that the Bible is inspired, at least to a certain degree. Whether they think it's verbal or thought inspiration. There's so many things we can use and then attach it. That's what Paul appears to be doing here. He's telling the history, and then he's telling how the history with the prophecies that came with that history is being fulfilled right before their very eyes by a man that they all know existed and did what he did. Marvelous.
Amen. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how he led Paul back then is how he still wants to lead his people today. No matter how timid or shy or reclusive or humble or however you want to put it, God still wants to use us if we will let him. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So it doesn't matter what our age is, God can use us if we will allow him to. So next time we'll pick it up at verse 24 of Acts 13. And again, thank you, dear Brother James, for leading out next week. And let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to begin, please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so happy that we have memory and we can think back with your guidance on things that have happened to us throughout life, both for a history lesson and for a lesson how to do things differently. Thank you for the printed word, as always, that we can refer to over and over again, because sometimes it takes more than once to understand and to get a little hidden meaning sometimes. And we thank the Holy Spirit for coming when we ask to help us learn what we should so we can speak for you better. Be with all those, our family, wherever they are this morning or this evening, and give us a special blessing. Make our hearts happy and uplifted. We know that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and we can actually think better when we're happy. Forgive us where we have failed, and wash us clean in your blood. Be with those with special burdens tonight on their heart and their thinking, and bless them with your solutions for their problems. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of reading this inspired record. It's so encouraging. It's not back there in the first century AD only, although that's when it happened. Thank you that we can have the same experiences, and indeed individuals have had it, and that we as a church may have it and go on to perfection. Thank you for this exceeding precious promises to be purged of every kind of sin and selfishness, so your true kingdom can be seen in humanity, whose head is Christ and whose Savior is Jesus. Father, I ask that you would especially help us with the information that we've looked at tonight, to ponder it deeply as we go forward, knowing what our gifts are, knowing what our capabilities are, only so we can use these to the fullest extent, but like Joshua, have faith that you'll make up the deficiency. And we might not understand our deficiencies, so to just lay ourselves wholly on the altar of sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm doing all that I can, I think I am, and open to more understanding if I'm not, and believing all the while you make up the deficiency so humanity can be linked up with divinity in the work of saving souls physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Thank you that you're our whole Savior, Jesus, and you take care of the whole person, the whole child, the whole individual. Thank you for answering both silent and unspoken prayer requests. Thank you indeed. They might be of the most private nature, but yet you answer them in a perfect way. Please increase our faith upon these promises that have been fulfilled to us in the past and that we are certain of. On another note, Lord, uphold our the privilege of being able to make an audiobook, the privilege of being able to remain active, all of us, whether it's rain, hail or shine, that there's always activity waiting for us to fulfill. And there's your friendship there, your encouragement, your strength to fulfill it, the hope of keeping the devil far, far away, not allowing him a foothold in our life through inactivity in a good direction. I pray for more wisdom that we'll be able to use up the short time that we all have left, and to remember that you do want us to meet you in peace. You don't want any of us to be lost. You don't want anyone in the world to be lost. We uphold Sister Susan. We of note that Sister Joan, we haven't seen her for about a week, and we hope that she's going well on her farm and is blessed to continue living off the land as far as she can and having the blessing of being out in country, in the country, and continuing to look for ways, more ways that, you know, that you put her to be on fire for you, that wants to express itself and giving, reaching out to more individuals quickly, that you'll bless her with that most economical way to do that, and all brothers and sisters around the world, and that we won't, as much as we would love for people to be, you know, responding, God, I pray you'll help us realize when this has happened in the past, because it surely happened. There's been times when I've failed, and I pray it's not to the loss of souls eternally, because of something I failed to say, something I failed to do. I pray, we all do, that this will not be the end. We haven't contributed to such an extent that there's no chance for them now to have a saving relationship with Jesus. In fact, could you mercifully provide another opportunity, whether it be family or friends or strangers we've come to know and they've become friends. And thank you for doing this. Thank you that we're not talking to no one, though we don't see you. We have the true God who created everything good. Everything was pronounced very good on the sixth day. And the seventh day was the blessing, the memorial, the birthday of creation. God, help us to set good examples so we might inspire others to be boldly standing up for the Word of God and His truth, even though we live in a godless society that many of which claim Christ as their religion. And thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And precious Father in heaven, we thank you for not wanting a single human being to be lost, that you take no pleasure in individuals receiving the second death, and that you're doing everything possible to seek and to save the lost. And I pray that you will help each one of us to allow you to use us in any way to minister to others, to reach them with the precious word of truth or with the kindness of Christ. And thank you for giving us the words. Thank you for giving us the wisdom as well as the opportunity and the courage to take advantage of that open door that you provide. But please help us not to go forward in our own strength or in our own abilities, but to rely 100% on what you can do through us. And please also keep us from falling back on our timidity or not knowing what to say and thus not saying anything and letting the moment pass. But help us to recognize that you can give us the tongue of the learned, the tongue of the wise, and will direct us in what to do and what to say and how to do it and how to say it at a moment's notice if we will just submit to thee. So thank you for allowing us to be co-laborers with thee, to be your witnesses, and to be a representative of the Savior. Help us to this end. And thank you for your trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My soul, wait thou only upon God. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9, Psalm 62:5. Good night, everyone who's leaving. Thank you so much for the fellowship.
Amen. And a good night, dear ones. And that was beautiful, dear brother. And thank you so much for singing that for us. And indeed, let us not be weary in well-doing. And what a privilege to be co-laborers with our God. But dear ones, is there any other songs that you'd like to sing? Anything that you'd like to bring forward? Testimonies or comments, questions? Before we close tonight, please feel free. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep moving forward. Be those minute men and minute women for the Lord. And looking forward to seeing you in a couple days. And I'd like to leave you with this hymn. It goes right along with what we've been talking about. More like the Master I would ever be, more of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for the work He bids me do. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the Master is my daily prayer, more strength to carry the crosses I must bear, more earnest effort to bring His kingdom in, more of His Spirit the wanderers to win. Take thou my thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of His love to others I would show. More for self-denial like his in Galilee. More like the master I long to ever be. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. May God bless, dear ones, and hope to see you soon.